Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Connor Hughes joins us. A little Jet football. Covers the Jets for The Athletic, also for SNY. Good morning, Connor. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Before we get to Watson, what was your impressions of Robert Saleh as he got introduced this week via Zoom? The messaging, right? All gas, no break is something that drove Jet fans into a tizzy. But I thought he was really impressive with his introductory Zoom presser, Connor. What was your take of coming out of it?
It was that. I came away impressed with it. I mean, I think the biggest thing was he came across very genuine. He came across very authentic. This wasn't the one thing that I wanted to see personally is when you hire a coach that is as energetic and passionate on the sidelines as Saleh is. I sometimes have questions of, is that authentic or is that a guy that wants the camera on him? You know, it's one of, like with Rex. Like when Rex Ryan makes those crazy comments and says those insane things and does, you know, the wildness on the sideline, Rex did it because Rex wanted the camera on him. He wanted to be the center of attention. He wanted the spotlight. And I didn't know Robert Saleh from anyone else when the Jets hired him, you know, other than he's a candidate and he's the defensive coordinator of the 49ers. So I didn't know what that was. And when he spoke to us and we got a chance to meet him at that press conference, he made it very clear that is not – he's not the Rex Ryan, you know, he's not the Greg Williams. He is passionate. He is fiery. He is intense. But he's passionate, fiery, and intense because of how much he loves his players and how invested he is in his players and how invested he is in the games. And when you heard him talk, that's what he did. He spoke a lot about the people aspect of it. He spoke a lot about the players. He spoke a lot about, you know, everyone kind of joining linked arms and following the same pathway to success. And I came across looking at a guy and saying he's a head coach. You know, he's not an offensive mastermind. He's not a defensive mastermind. He's not the sexy hire in terms of, oh, everyone wants to, you know, put the spotlight on him. He sounded very much like a head football coach and somebody that is going to kind of captivate this team, make this a team once again, and hopefully get the Jets to some level of respectability.
And those are great statements, Connor, because I agree with you wholeheartedly. I know Coach Saleh. I've interviewed with him. I've spent time talking football with him. And what you see is what you get. He is as genuine as it comes. And that energy that you see on the sidelines isn't for the cameras. That energy is who he is.
Yeah.
And that's what he brings as leadership to that organization and now into the New York Jets and to that defense. One of the big questions was, what are they going to do? Is he going to be calling the defense? Obviously, Jeff Ulbrich is the one who he hired as the defensive coordinator. I know Ulbrich from playing up against him. Him and Julian Peterson were the interior linebackers at San Francisco 49ers when I was early in my career. And you think about the foundation that both him, Robert Saleh, and he had as coaches, you know, starting off in Seattle, learning that 3-4/4-3 hybrid under Dan Quinn and Gus Bradley. So how do you see this hiring going? And do you think that Jets fans are excited that he's hired somebody to call the defense, or were they expecting him to do it as well?
Well, I think they're excited I'll just put it this way. It's the right move. It's the right move to not have him call the defensive plays. And that's not because, you know, I don't think he's capable of it. It's not because, you know, it hasn't worked in the past with guys who were coordinators before who got head coaching jobs and have continued to call the plays. You know, Sean McVay, obviously, offensively over there calling the plays and things like that. And there's a bunch of different options around the league. But with the Jets, I mean, they're coming off the Adam Gase experience where when he was hired, he made it clear, I'm hired because I need to coach this offense and I need to coach Sam Darnold. And then, you know, at his introductory press conference, he said he was looking for, quote, a head coach of the defense. And that's eventually what led the Jets to hire Greg Williams. And I don't think that's what the Jets need right now. The Jets need a team. They need a manager. They when they went out and looked for this next head coach, they made comments about this being a CEO type is what they wanted. You know, they wanted to have somebody that was going to be the head coach of the entire team and manage the entire team. And, you know, Saleh conceivably could do that if he was calling the defensive plays. He still maybe could be able to do that, but it would kind of give off the perception and the outside looking in belief that no. Okay. He's the defensive coordinator and then LaFleur is the offensive coordinator. And then, you know, it's offense and it's defense. And that's not what the Jets want anymore. They want head coach of the team. They want a head coach. And by Saleh taking that manager CEO type where his offensive coordinator is going to run the offense, his special teams coordinator is going to run the special teams, his defensive coordinator is going to run the defense. I think it just, you know, and he talked about this at the conference. It makes the messaging of we are in this together, we are linked arms, we are a team. I think it makes it a bit more clear.
Connor, when we watch the Packers later on this afternoon, I know the names are not the same, but the style and fashion which the game is called, the offense that is being run in Green Bay, can Jet fans expect that variant of offense here with the Jets, with Mike LaFleur being the OC?
Yeah, I think some of it, but I would honestly just go back and watch the 2019 NFC Championship game when the 49ers were in it and watch the 49ers offense, because that's what this is going to be. This is going to be the Kyle Shanahan scheme, and Matt LaFleur pretty much runs it, but he's added a little bit of his own wrinkles. I think you're going to see Mike LaFleur really run the Mike Shanahan scheme. I mean, his entire 7-year NFL coaching career has been spent at the hip of Shanahan. Everywhere Shanahan's gone, he's brought LaFleur with him. When LaFleur wanted to go join his brother in Green Bay, Kyle Shanahan said no, that's not happening. You know, Kyle Shanahan was like, no, I'm keeping him with me. He's going to be here. So I think that the Kyle Shanahan offense is what you're going to see with the Jets. It's going to be a lot of the run heavy offense. It's going to be a lot of the zone. It's going to be a lot of misdirection, a lot of movement, and then it's going to be about marrying the run game to the pass game, and it's going to be having the quarterback moving out and throwing on the run and making accurate throws. And then when you do want to get aggressive, attack the ball and stretch the ball down the field. So there will be some of the Mike, there's somebody that now there's Mike and Matt, there's Kyle and Mike. I'm all over the place right now, man, but there's going to be some Green Bay tendencies in this new Jets offense. But I think that Mike LaFleur is going to be using the Kyle Shanahan offense more so than what his brother does.
And speaking of this Jets offense, Moose teased it a little bit when he introduced you coming on to the show, the Deshaun Watson trade and the discussions. Where are we with that right now? And is this something that can actually come to fruition?
Well, it's such a difficult thing to break down, because I think the one thing that I go back to a lot is when Watson was in Houston, there's a scene of there's a NFL Films picked up, and it's Watson, Deshaun Watson walking off the field with J.J. Watt, and J.J. Watt has his arm around Watson, and he's basically apologizing to Deshaun for wasting a year of his prime. That Deshaun is a quarterback that has the skill set and ability to win a Super Bowl now, and the Texans, because of their roster construction and coaching issues and all those things, they were not able to win, and they basically wasted a year of Watson's career. The Jets, in their current structure, if they were to trade for Deshaun Watson, would be wasting another year of Watson's career, because they are not a team that is ready to compete for a Super Bowl title. They are not a team that's ready for championship contention. And in order for them to get to a point where they are in ready for Super Bowl contention, and at a point where they are ready to potentially make a run at a Super Bowl with Watson, they would need to use all of the draft picks that they're going to have to trade to go get Watson. So, I mean, they're going to have to give up 3 first-round picks, maybe 4 first-round picks, in order to go and get Deshaun. And by giving up that draft capital, it hurts you in your ability to build this roster to a point where you are Super Bowl contending. And that's one of the reasons why in the past I've kind of been saying, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I don't know why I would pick the Jets over the Miami Dolphins, a team that is much closer to contention. The Jets over a team like the San Francisco 49ers, who are closer to contention. The Jets like a team over the Panthers, who, while they are closer to where the Jets are, they are still closer to championship contention than what the Jets would be. And that's why I kind of had my doubts on why Deshaun would want the Jets. If the Miami Herald report is true, that the Jets are number one on Deshaun Watson's preferred list, there is no price that is not worth paying to go get him. And I know everything I just said, you know, about how, oh, the Jets need the first round picks to make them a contender. The Jets need this to make them a contender. All of that is very true, but Deshaun Watson is different. We're not talking about giving up all of your first round picks to go get a receiver, or all of your first round picks to get a pass rusher, or all of your first round picks to go get another offensive tackle. You're talking about a quarterback who is 25 years old, who is just now getting into the prime of his career and still has another decade of playing in the NFL in front of him. A guy who's made 3 Pro Bowls in 4 years, somebody who is a top 5, potentially top 4 quarterback in the NFL, and is just the generational type player that general managers spend their entire careers trying to look for. And if you can find a way to get the team that guy is currently playing for to trade you that player, you immediately didn't pay enough, because you cannot put a price on a franchise quarterback like this guy. You cannot put a price on what having Deshaun Watson means for your team. And if that means Sam Darnold and 3 first-round picks, Sam Darnold and 2 first-round picks, 3 first-round picks and a couple mid-round picks, it really doesn't matter, because Deshaun Watson is that good. He is the one where you take logic, you take team-building philosophies, you take all of those, you know, oh, this is the technical X's nose right way to do it. When you have a chance to go get Deshaun Watson, you throw all that out the window and you go and get him.
Connor, do you think Joe Douglas feels the same way you do about Deshaun Watson?
That's the toughest thing to break down, Moose. And the one thing it's the toughest thing to try to figure out, because Joe is not going to let anyone in his head. Joe is not he's great with the media when he wants to talk X's and O's, but when it comes to what he wants to do and what he's thinking of doing, he's going to play this Ozzie Newsome-like in terms of close to the vest. And the only thing that I can go back to is a conversation that I had with Howie Roseman shortly after the Jets had hired Joe Douglas. And I had written a story where I went back and I talked to people in Baltimore that worked with him, people in Chicago that worked for him, and then Howie obviously brought him to Philadelphia, and Howie worked with him. And I remember talking to Howie, and I said, you know, Joe's a guy that is very brought up in the college evaluation aspect of it and finding players aspect of it. He's never really been trained as a general manager. And Howie said, you know, that's partially true, but what Howie did was, when he hired Joe, he hired him and realized, this guy's going to be a general manager soon. Somebody's going to hire him to be a general manager. So I want to help him prepare to be a general manager. And there were several times during the 2017 and 18 seasons where the Philadelphia Eagles made trades, and the Philadelphia Eagles, like Jay Ajayi was one of the guys that they went out for and they traded for at running back, and he played a big role in the Eagles Super Bowl run. And when they went out and they got Jay Ajayi, Joe Douglas was not happy. Like, he was not happy with Howie Roseman. He was not happy with them going out and trading draft picks to go get a player, because this is a guy who was a career scout, a career director of college scouting. Like, that's what he does. So he sees these draft picks as his babies. He sees them as the untapped potential, the players that you just don't know what they're going to become, the third-round pick that becomes a Pro Bowler, the fifth-round pick that becomes an All-Pro. He really believes that you can find a star with every single one of them, and he doesn't want to give them away. And Howie said that there were always those conversations whenever they had to make a trade, where he would go to Joe, and Joe would kind of be like, oh, come on, not again. But it was Howie who would explain to him, no, Joe, this is why we're trading the draft picks. Yes, we believe in the picks, but look at how this player will help us now. So I know in the past, Joe has been very apprehensive about giving up picks. He wants more picks, not less. You even saw that in his first draft with the Jets, where he was trading back to accumulate more and more and more, and trading Jamal Adams for more picks and things like that. But I do believe that even Joe Douglas, who loves those draft picks, and even Joe Douglas, who loves those selections and believes draft over everything and you build this through the draft, I do believe that he realizes that almost everything is thrown out the window when a player like Watson's out there, and a player like Watson at quarterback. It's not an offensive lineman. It's not a receiver. It's not a running back. It is a franchise quarterback who is 25 years old, when you take into consideration his passing yards, touchdowns, completion percentage, and quarterback rating, all of the numbers he put out there with the 4-12 Texans last year, they all would have been franchise records with the Jets.
And as you sat there and you talk about draft picks and obviously the 2021 offseason for this Jets team, the quarterback position is the decision that has to be made, number one. But with next week being the Senior Bowl, all the practices during the week, and the Senior Bowl game on Saturday, where would you put the positions of need in order for the Jets as they execute the 2021 offseason?
That's a good one. I think kind of doing some stories recently just about the Jet offense and the Jet receiving group and Jet offense, Jet defense, and what LaFleur is going to be bringing to New York, and what, because this will, I know Albert's going to be the defensive coordinator, but this is solid defense. Like, it's going to be solid, the solid scheme and everything. So, yep. What solid defense needs, what the offense needs, you know, kind of thing. I don't think quarterback is like number one on the list, because I do believe that the Jets can function effectively with the LaFleur offense and Sam Darnold. I do believe it will function more effectively with Zach Wilson, and they'd be a better option with Zach Wilson. And obviously, they'd be a better option with Deshaun Watson, but it's not like either of those players are, you know, like the Jacksonville Jaguars, where the Jaguars literally have no other option at quarterback and they need to go get a quarterback. I think the Jets can have success with Sam. So with that in mind, I would probably have to write this down and then reorganize them, but I can tell you that they definitely need receivers that can make yards after the catch. So they need guys that are going to catch the ball and then make plays afterwards. That's something. They desperately need to improve the two guard positions. I mean, they might make a call to you, David, because it's been pretty bad there for the last couple of years. So, you know, I don't know if you're still hitting the gym, but I think that
not at 265. I don't think I'm anchoring down up against Quinnen Williams in practice.
So they'll with that one, I guess, crossed off the list. They're probably gonna have to go find a guard. I know Wyatt Davis is somebody they might target in the draft. I think Joe Tooney, if the Patriots let him get to free agency, he'll be someone. I think those are the positions primarily on offense they need, because I think they need running backs who can get to the perimeter with speed. But Ty Johnson could do that. P. Ryan's good. You can find some veterans. So they definitely need a number one receiver and receivers that can make yak. They need to improve the two interior guard positions. They obviously have it set with Becton. Fant and McGovern will definitely improve in this zone blocking scheme, but they do need better guard play. They need a left guard, need a right guard. Defensively, they need to find that Leo rusher. They need to find that weak side defensive end that's going to pressure the quarterback. You know, they need a guy like Bosa. They need a guy like somebody like that that's going to go out there and pressure the quarterback and be a pass-rushing defensive end, because they don't have that. And then, obviously, they need help in the secondary, because while a zone coverage scheme and two high looks should make Bryce Hall and Bless Austin's life easier, you still need a starting corner. I mean, those two guys, you can't go into next season like, oh, yeah, we hope they improve. I mean, you need to have some legitimate cornerbacking help. So on defense, it's pass rusher and it's cornerback. They need to go get those guys. And on offense, I think they need interior guard play. And then, obviously, they need a number one receiver. And then I think quarterback probably falls in after those things, because of the fact, like I said, they can have success in this scheme with Sam, although the scheme can be run more effectively probably with Zach Wilson or Deshaun.
Connor, before we let you go, who do you like on Championship Sunday? Well, more importantly, who does your fiance like on Championship Sunday?
You know, we were talking about this last night, man. Bree's been having a good week. I think she's the only game that she missed on wild card and divisional week is she missed the Seahawks game. She and I was in the same boat with her. We thought we were going to see the Seahawks beat the Rams in that game. But I know she's big this week on the Packers. She likes them a lot over Tampa Bay, and I'm agreeing with her on that one. I kind of have a hard time seeing the Buccaneers going to Lambeau Field and beat the Packers there, especially with the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing, and he showed no side effects of missing or not missing a week, but having the week off. Sometimes you see a little rust from teams. I saw no rust from Aaron Rodgers, so I think he's going to be pretty good this week, and I know Bree agreed with that one. And then the other one that she's on, and she's convinced me, and I believe it as well, is the Buffalo Bills got a chance against the Chiefs. Mahomes, obviously, I know he's back and he's out of the concussion protocol, but he's dealing with that toe issue, so you never know. And the Bills just, I don't know, man, I think they kind of seem like a little bit of a team of destiny. So I think I'm in the same boat with her. I'm just following her picks at this point. I mean, I've given mine up. I'm not even,
smart man.
It's not even about me anymore. I'm following her. So she's going Packers, Bills, and I'm in the same boat with her.
Well, Connor, enjoy Championship Sunday. Good luck to Bree and yourself, and we'll chat again soon, all right?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Fun as always.
You guys, Connor Hughes does a great job covering the Jets. Athletic SNY.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.